because there were Jews, and I use that not in racial or ethnic or any terms, but Jews, capital J, always remember, Jews means the leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests. That's the Jews. And they were there, and they made life miserable for the Christians, because the Christians tried to hang on to being a Jew. They were Jewish Christians. And it was hard sometimes to know whether they were more into being Jewish than they were being Christian. And then as the years passed, they became, many of them, Christian Jews. Well, they were Christians first of all, Jews second. But life was miserable. They were not hiding out from the Romans. Romans didn't know they existed. But they were hiding out from the Jewish officials, who were very upset that they were exploring this rabbi's life from Capernaum and from Nazareth. And so life was pretty miserable for them. And so what happened, they went underground. That meant they went into hiding, primarily. And so the Christian movement, they didn't preach after a while on the street corners, as Peter did in the first of Acts. It was all, and they didn't see a lot of progress. And the Paul comes along boldly, and they didn't like Paul. And he takes the message out to the to Asia Minor and introduces Christianity to them. The headquarters changed from Jerusalem up to Antioch. And Antioch is up about an inch above Galilee there on that map. Now we're not going. You have a map on the back, much better, and you can follow along there, the places that he did go. But those are some things that I think are very important. Let me talk about the community of John. John was a great teacher, and people loved to sit. All of the disciples were, probably, but John we know more about. John was the youngest, and it's believed that John eventually moves to Ephesus over in Asia Minor. John began to gather people around him, and I call it community, but really it was a church. And so there were people who were in his community. They lived in. And literally, it was communal. I remember back in my early ministry when I had a hard time saying it was communal. You mean they're communists? You know, no, yeah, they were. Not Karl Marx communists, but they shared everything. They brought their, they pooled their resources because they believed that Jesus was going to return any day. And that was the belief of the early church. And you can see why that. And then they finally came to understand that was not going to be the case. But that Jesus said, don't you worry about that. That'll happen in due time at the right time. And so they backed off of that. So they lived in communion. Now, it was rough in Jerusalem for any Christians. And so the community of John moved out of Jerusalem. If you look on your map, there's a little tiny town. The reason I use this map was because you can't find it anywhere else. And it's a little place that you mentioned in John's Gospel called Bethany beyond the Jordan. And it's on this map. Do you see Jerusalem and Bethany and Bethlehem? Just go due east to the river Jordan, and you see a little speck, and it says Bethany beyond Judea. That's what I'm talking about. Bethany, and that was very important to early Christians, to John the Baptist, but it's also important to John, the beloved, because their people moved. They were nomadic. They had their flocks, and so they moved over to Bethany. The community did. Now, what was the community for? It was for learning about Jesus. It was for becoming Christians in their actions of loving their neighbor and feeding the poor. I mean, that's what they were about. And as the community moved, they moved next to Samaria, which is that area between Jerusalem, which is Judea, and Galilee to the north, Samaria. And they stayed, and there were a number of Samaritan Christians become a part of the Johannine community. Now, if you read John, John's the only one that talks about Jesus going to Samaria. And I think we just sort of think that's in all of them. But it was John, with Jesus who went to Samaria, to Sychar, to the well of Jacob, and it's there on your map as well. And it's to the left of the river, just north. But it's believed that John took his community there. And all along, they're growing, getting larger in numbers. And then, I don't know how long they stayed in that area, but a number of great Christians joined their community. Then they moved up to around Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee, just at the very north. I always say at 12 o'clock. I always say, look at the Sea of Galilee as a clock and telling all you, 12 o'clock is Capernaum, you know, and 9 o'clock is Magdala is the easy way to do it. But look at 12 o'clock. They lived up there for a period of time. Then they moved to Antioch. This is over a period of time. John is believed lived to be a very old man. And you understand, he was the youngest of the disciples when Jesus was living. He was sort of the pet of the group. And everybody loved John. And Jesus loved John because he was energetic. And I could see many reasons why. I'm putting my imagination into it now more than using Scripture. But John was very, very popular. But he lived longer than anybody else, it's believed. And he believed he died in Ephesus. And he's buried in Ephesus, it's believed. An old man. But he was still teaching and preaching, and I can just see people who would gather at his knee to hear the story. Because John was with Jesus in the flesh. And so the community stayed there, and what the shepherds and the moving their flocks, they had to go to new pastures, and their ancestors did that. Anyway, they finally go on, because the map is not large enough, but that's the Mediterranean Sea up there to your left, and up there. I'm pointing back there like you should turn your head. My map's back there. And then they moved out into Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. And that's where Galatia is located. And so they were in their movement pretty well about the time Paul was moving along. There's no real proof that John and Paul ever had a whole lot of stuff going on together. But John was teaching. And all along, they were getting larger. The community, always remember. And so they were taking notes, I'm sure. Keep in mind, people were uneducated. John was a fisherman. Chances are, he doesn't know how to write. Now, don't be upset about that. That's just fact of life. But there were people that he could tell the story to. And they wrote the story. Somebody wrote John. It was a community of people who wrote John. And they wrote John in such a way, magnificent. I mean, it was just, it just takes you off in terms of its language. And they finally settled all the way over at Ephesus. And Ephesus, it's kind of hard to tell whether they're on the Aegean Sea or whether they're, and I've got a map in here in a minute that will show this. And they move. You see the community moving now? Now, it's that community. People say, well, to whom did they write? Well, most of the time, they were writing to their own community. It's like writing Sunday school literature that the people would learn and know these things. But they were writing for other parts of the church. When did the printing press come into being? 14th century? A.D.? Well, we're talking about 1,400 years before that. And they were not any, they were writing Xerox machines. And so to get a manuscript was a big deal. And they were very expensive. To get a manuscript, a finished manuscript of John, would cost a person a lifetime of wages. So they would share in that sort. They would share portions of it. So they make their movement all the way across to Ephesus, where they settle in their community. And that's where they begin to merge with the apostolic church. Now, the apostolic church would be Christians who were coming up out of Paul's teaching, things like that. And they would share ideas and interpretations. There were some mainline facts, and that was that Jesus was God incarnate. And there was no duality. There was a belief that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the major story in the Synoptics and in the Gospel of John as well. That is critical to the whole story. And that's how that moved. So that brought us the book of John, and as we have it now. But he also wrote to his enemies that we'll see again. There were always people in that time sort of sneaking in the community who were heretics. They wanted to be Christians, but they wanted to do it their way. And they would come off with some gosh-awful kind of theories. And so they had to fight against those things. And that was a major battle that Paul had always. And one of the mean groups was a group called the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. And that, you can say it comes from the word gnosis in Greek means knowledge. And so these were characters who believed they had all the answers. They were smart people, but they wanted to be Christians. Their biggest problem was that they believed that Jesus was God, but he could not be human. They put forth a theory, the Gnostics did. Now, this was the, you know, what is a heretic? A heretic is one who takes the main orthodox teaching of Christianity and does something funny with it. And, you know, and they make it to their own terms. Like, for example, we believe that Jesus, and we believe that God was both human and divine. That Jesus was both God and man. Now, that's very important. That's the underlying principle of the whole Gospels, John and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, that he was God coming in the flesh. And we've got to get that. And in John, he makes it very clear. Many people have a duality that God remained in heaven and Jesus came to earth. But Jesus, who is Jesus? John said, Jesus is God. He called it a very fancy word, the pre-existent word. And that means that the word pre-existed before Jesus came on the scene. And in the fullness of time, God became flesh. In the beginning was God. And that's primary to that understanding of theology. But the Gnostics slipped into the group. Things were going great, probably down in Jerusalem and over in Bethany beyond the sea. But then when they got up there, Samaria maybe, some of these people went to some kind of convocation over in Capernaum, and they picked up this idea, and they came back trying to introduce it to them. And basically, that we can understand that Jesus, you know, looking back on Jesus, even though John was there, they were saying, you know, Jesus was divine. He couldn't have performed, but he was never human. You know, and it's very important in our, throw another word out there, and you were supposed to have me something to write on up here. Christology, like theology is the study of God. Christology is the study of Christ. And I think it's very important for Christians like you who are at Hazel Green United Methodist Church that each of you have a good Christology of knowing who Jesus is. And a part of that, if you go to the Word, is that Jesus was God and man. He loved us so much that in the fullness of time, He became flesh and lived among us. Now, the Gnostics, and they got worse, by the way. This was first century. In the second century, third century, they really almost did the church in, because they just got in and went through like kudzu into the community. And it disrupted things. And they had some followers. And basically their position was that that Jesus was divine, but He was not God. They also believe, I'm trying to set you up for the first 18 verses. I'm doing a lot of setting up. And to understand what was written in those verses. And the other belief of those Gnostics was that God, for whom we believe, is Jesus, the Creator, who created the world as we know. Now look at the way John begins, in the beginning. Look at the way the book of Genesis begins. What are the words? In the beginning. And so these are, you know, tied together. And to understand that. And the belief of the Gnostics was that the God who created the world was an evil God. Listen to this. They call it a demiurge, D-E-M-I. Now, I've got these words a little later. Urge, just like, you know, U-R-G, hyphen urge, demiurge. And that this demiurge created a bad world. Everything in it was evil. And God would not come, their position was, and live in this old bad world. That it was an evil world. And that's what the Gnostics were putting out. And therefore, Jesus, God, could not come and live in this world. But He could not be. He could be God, spirit. Of course, they believed in several spirits. There's a whole bunch of them. And Jesus was not the main spirit, by the way. He was down the rung. But that He did not become human. Now, my assumption is on your altar upstairs, I hadn't been there, but I know it's there, communion table or whatever it is. In most churches, there is a cross, and there are two candles, correct? Usually there, on each side. Well, we know the cross. What is the altar for us? The altar speaks to us of who God is. You come into worship, and the first thing that should catch your eye, would be the cross. And that's who we are. That's the center of worship. Because we believe that God so loved the world, which is right here in John, that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. That's the whole Spirit. But on either side of that cross, and I'm saying 99% of churches who try to put an altar there, there are two candles. Do you know what the candles represent? Some people say to balance it up, you know, one would make it tilt. But there's a meaning. And the two candles represent on your altar the humanity and the divinity of Jesus.